Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week.
So what am I? I'm a veteran. I forgot what it was. Am I a veteran pastor or a veteran church planter? What was I? I'm a veteran church planter. This is what a veteran church planter looks like. He's old and has deep wrinkles. Which brings me to this. You know, Dan's not here today, which gives us a chance to talk about him. Hopefully you don't talk about him too much behind his back. I know from experience that's not a good thing for a pastor to have happen. But my dad, who's gone now, had Dan's job. All the years I was growing up as a kid, my dad did what Dan does now. And then, of course, I had the privilege of what I was able to do in ministry, but having seen that task, that work from both sides, what I can tell you is Dan has, without question, the toughest job in ministry. What I did does not hold a candle to how tough my dad's job was for all those years. And so you should appreciate what we have here. And when you say a prayer, remember Dan. We are going to continue in the Gospel of Luke this morning. We are in Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 16. The person speaking here is Jesus, okay? He says, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. Another said, please excuse me. I've married a wife, therefore I can't come. I'm having a hard time reading because my eyes are still a little teary here. Forgive me. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry, understandably, and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled, the blind and the lame. And the servant had done that, and so he comes back and says, sir, what you commanded has been done, and there's still loads of room. The master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. Would you pray with me? Father, this morning we pray, walk today with those among us who are weary and burdened, lonely or afraid, suffering or grieving. And now as we open your word, we pray, open our hearts and minds to learn and change and grow. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus, like all good teachers, understood the power of once upon a time. He understood the power of a story, the power it has to capture our imagination, to speak to our hearts, not just to our heads, to be remembered long after the story ends. And so Jesus told stories, lots of stories. His teaching is literally littered with what he called parables. Now, a parable is a little story with a big meaning. Jesus did this. He told stories again and again and again, he said, to speak to those who were ready to hear, who were somehow sufficiently self-aware or spiritually alert to get it, to understand what he was saying. Not always, but often those stories were about what he called the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. They were about entering the kingdom. How do you find your way into the kingdom? Or maybe experiencing life in the kingdom. What's that like? What's it about? Once upon a time, a man invited lots and lots of people to a big dinner party. Took a long time to prepare. When it was finally ready, he sent his social secretary out to tell the guests, "It's time. Listen, it's time. Everything is ready for you. It's all been prepared for you." One guy said, "Look, I just closed a land deal. I need to go check out the property." So this guy bought land, sight unseen. I doubt it. Another said, "Listen, I just invested in 5 pair of oxen. I need to go try them out. Please, please convey my apologies." Now, 5 pair of oxen were not cheap. That would have been a substantial investment. And he bought them without ever trying them out? Really? Still another, and I love this one. He says, "Hey, I just got married. I'm sure you understand. I can't make it." So when he said he'd come, when he RSVP'd, did he not know he had just gotten married or was just about to get married? Did that somehow slip his mind? To a man, they all made lame excuses. You sort of get the feeling these excuses were cooked up at the last minute. The truth, what we all read between the lines of Jesus' little story here, is they didn't want to go. They didn't want to go. They had other stuff going on. We have all had this experience. Sharon and I talk about this experience from time to time. You know what I'm going to say, don't you? You know, it sounded exciting at the time. And so you said, "Yep, sign me up, I'll go." And now it's time to show up. Not so much. You know, it was exciting when it was proposed, but now, gosh, you'd just rather stay home and read a good book or watch reruns of Law and Order. You know, that's what we do right now. In this case, for these people, you know, maybe it wasn't that. Maybe it was that something better came up. Something better came along that they thought they'd do. Once upon a time, a man invited lots and lots of people to a big dinner party. Now, of course, Jesus, he's not really talking about a dinner party. He's not particularly concerned with dinner parties. What he is doing is he's expressing his concern for poor people, for those people who need help but are too often left behind and passed over. And Jesus did this over and over and over again, expressed his concern for the poor. He's also painting a picture of life in the kingdom. Excuse me. He's also painting a picture of life in the kingdom. When you get home today, go back and read in Luke chapter 14, the paragraph just before where we began reading in verse 16. Go back and read that paragraph and you'll see two things. You'll see that what's happening in the conversation, by the way, Jesus is at a dinner party. What's happening in the conversation there will tell you that in all of this, what Jesus is doing is he's expressing his concern for the poor, and the immediate context of this story is, once again, the kingdom of God. So he's painting a picture of life in the kingdom. Theologians talk about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven as being now and not yet. Now and not yet. And what they mean when they say it's not yet is that in its fullness, it hasn't come yet. It hasn't happened yet. All that, you know, wiping away every tear and pounding swords into plowshares and so forth, that hasn't really happened yet. That is still to come. But there's also a sense in which the kingdom of God exists here and now. It exists in any individual or community where God's will is done. You know, sometimes we pray the Lord's Prayer, and in those opening phrases, we pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." And of course, you don't have to be an English major to understand that second phrase is qualifying, it's defining the first. The kingdom is wherever God's will is done. The kingdom lives in you, it lives in me, when we surrender to God's will. When we say, in effect, your will be done. We say, in effect, to God, to the God who's there, not my way. Let's do it your way. That is a radically different way of being in the world. A life lived in relationship with the Creator, with your Maker, the one who made you, lived by His plans, lived by His desires, His passions. What makes His heart beat faster? His passions, His intentions. Living by His plans and desires and intentions, not ours. That's a radically different way of being in the world. It's your life as it was always meant to be. Just think about it. Living by the plans and purposes of the one who made you. That's your life as it was always meant to be. And it changes us. Even making our imperfect attempt to say your will be done, that changes us. It transforms us. It leads not just to a different life. It leads to a different you. Not just a different life, but a different you. It leads to the you as you were always meant to be. It's that man or that woman that sometimes you can tell is somewhere down inside, but you can't figure out how to let him out, how to let her out. It's a life that's deep and full and rich with meaning and purpose. Life in the kingdom. It's the life you always wanted. The life you always wanted. It's a little bit like a dinner party. It's an exciting place to be. In fact, this dinner party, it's the place to be. It's this can't-miss affair, the place to see and be seen. It's the only party that, in the end, really matters. And here's the thing, people. Showered and shaved in church on Sunday morning, that sounds pretty good. It's believable. In the moment, you think, yeah. But in the rough and tumble of daily life, when it's not Sunday morning, it's Monday morning. Or maybe it's Wednesday morning, you know. Maybe not so much. In the rough and tumble of daily life, we say, you know, I get it, I believe it, I'm one of those Jesus people. Life in the kingdom is the life I've always wanted. We say, it's just that I am so incredibly busy right now. It's this season of life thing I've got going. Right now, I've got to get through this. Whatever year this is. Right now, I got to get through this. Once I get through this, who then? Me, I'm all about life in the kingdom. Then that will be my priority. Now, I'm not really asking for a show of hands, but does anybody here really believe that you'll be less busy in a year? Or even less busy in 10? Or take it from some of us in the room, even less busy when you retire, you know? Life doesn't work that way. We all know that. Or maybe you say, and this is the heartbreaking one, listen, I'll never change. Yep, this thing that we're talking about, it's the me as I was meant to be, and it was the life I was meant to have, and so forth and so on, but that is just not in the cards for me. It's too late for me. Now, I don't know if anybody in this room is thinking that, but I know from doing what I did for decades of my life that there can be people who are showered and shaved and in their Sunday best on Sunday morning, and in their heart of hearts, what they're thinking is, it's too late for me. Do we really think that the creator of the universe, the one who spoke into existence, imagined, and then spoke into existence time and space. Do we really think he couldn't repair and restore one human life? Maybe your human life. Or here's a special one. I know this life in the kingdom, it's rich and it's full, it's all that, but I've got this other thing going and I'm excited about that too. I can do both. I'm going to do both. I'm going to do God's thing and I'm going to do my thing. You know, it's what we do now. This is the 21st century. It's called multitasking. I'm going to do both. But of course, what we all know in our heart of hearts is that life can have only one core principle. It can only have one prime directive, one central commitment. It's like a dinner party. Here it's not kind of like a dinner party. It's exactly like a dinner party. Either you go or you don't. Either you're there or you're not. Loitering in the parking lot, peeking through the open doorway, it's not the same as sitting down at the table to eat, not even close. So what are all our excuses about? I think we're not sure that we want to go to this party because something in our gut says, there's a downside. I'll have to give something up. I'll miss out on all those other parties. Something in us says, it'll cost. And that thing in your gut that says, yeah, there's a cost to this, your gut is right. When you get home today, read the paragraph before Jesus' story here, and then read the paragraph after. It is a real eye-opener. Jesus says that following him will literally cost you everything. The metaphor he uses to capture the idea there is dying. He says following him demands a profound kind of surrender. And some of us, I suspect, have never attempted that. Some of us maybe were playing at the edges, peeking through the doorway. Understand, following Jesus, life in the kingdom, it will cost you everything. And it's the only way to find the life you always wanted, the you as you were meant to be. So once upon a time, a man invited lots and lots of people to a big party, big dinner party. It took a long time to prepare, and when it was ready, he sent his social secretary to tell all his guests, "It's time. Everything's ready for you." The beautiful people, they all sent their regrets. They begged off because of their real estate deals, their business opportunities, their sex lives. And so he sent his social secretary to the corners and the front stoops in the rough part of town to bring in the losers and the nobodies. And after they'd done that, there was still room. So he sent him out to the woods behind the big box stores where the homeless people pitched their tents. But no matter how many came, there was always room for more. Finally, the party began. A jazz trio played quietly in the background. The champagne was poured and meal served by white-gloved waiters in waistcoats. And there they sat. There they sat under the chandeliers, this odd collection of misfits dressed in their Goodwill and Salvation Army best, having the time of their lives. It was a party. Maybe the best party you could ever hope to go to. So, here's the thing. You know, one way a story captures our imagination is we identify with someone in the story. So who are we in this story, in Jesus' story? Who are we? Who are you? Maybe we're still making excuses about why this is a bad idea or not a good time. Someday I'll get to this, just not today. And my only thought there would be, don't wait too long. Maybe years ago, maybe many of us in this room, we surrendered our plans and desires and intentions for our makers and experienced not only this richness of life with our Creator, but we also encountered a soul-deep need for forgiveness. We discovered, finding our way into the door of the party, we discovered we're not the beautiful people. We're poor. We bring so little to the table. Really, only our brokenness and our blunders and our moral failures. And we're blind. We're so often unable to see the way or see what's true or see what matters. Or maybe we're peeking through the doorway, wondering if we should go in. Wondering. Because it looks for all the world like the party of a lifetime. A little story, the big meaning. Let's pray. Father, into the chaos of our everyday lives, you come with simplicity and order. Into our weakness, you come with strength. Into our sin, you come with compassion and holiness. And for all this, we thank you. Now we pray, Father, give us grace to embrace you with all we have and are. And then invite us. Invite us again to that great feast that is life in your kingdom. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.